prompting of the Spirit. By this song, there is something that is coming, so let me just take 10 minutes to talk about it. If you can open to Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. In the song, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking about abundance in the house of the Lord. Amen. I eat my fill in the shadows. Okay, in the abundance of thy wings. The question is, do you really do that after this? Amen. You know, those of us who are managers, you know, one of the things you look out for is what? Sustainability. That is, this thing you're looking at, can you sustain it? Can you continue to do it? You know, so what's God saying about sustaining our ability to feed from the abundance of your household? Amen. I just want to take just 10 minutes to talk about it, and then we can go on. There are two types of garden. If you have the thing that determines what happens to the garden is source of water. That's what made the difference. Are we agreed? If you have a garden, no matter how beautiful your garden is, it can change in a matter of weeks and hours if there's no source of water. Amen. So can you name the types of garden mentioned in the Bible? Who can mention to us two types of garden mentioned? Yes? Yes. The Garden of Eden one and which other one? No, they are all the same. The Garden of Eden, Gethsemane, is the same type of garden. But there's another type of garden. Now, I want to put my money on that one. If you capture that one, then you will win the prize. The soul is where the garden is. So you have got one type of garden where the soul is like what? A watered garden. By the way, what is the water? Okay, what is the water in the soul? Sorry, it's like I've been turning to Bible study. Your rice is not here. So the water is what? The word. Where is this? What? How do you prove that? What's the scripture that tells you the water is the word? By the washing, where do you find that? Ephesians chapter 5, somewhere around 20, speaks about the watering of the water. And then John chapter 15 also talks about it. So you are clean by the words that I have spoken to you. And then another one, somewhere in John 2, John 3. It speaks about being baptized by the water, you know. So it's clear, the water. So what else speaks about water? What else is like water that affects the soul, affects your mind and all that? Yes. Yeah. Is it only water that speaks of the word? What else does the water speak about? Raise your hand now. Let's see. Hey, this is serious. Brother said yes. He said, out of your heart shall flow what? River. But he's not telling us what that water is. What else is the water? Huh? The what? Which scripture tells you that the Holy Spirit is like water? Please, can you show John 7, 37? John 7, 37. Okay, in that last day, that great day of the feast, you stood Jesus and cried and said, if any man, who is the man? Is it the body that is testing? Okay, if any man, or if any soul, or if any emotion, any desire, any mind, any will, any spirit, if any man test, let him do what? Come to me and what? Drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living, not just water, living water. Okay, verse 39 answers our question. But this speak he of the what? Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet. Has the Holy Spirit been given? So, do you have a sustainable source of the supply of the Spirit upon your soul, upon your mind? When you hear one news, do you have a source? Do you know how to tap the Spirit to water your soul? Amen. There are a few other scriptures, but I want us to go on. Okay, so we are saying that we have seen one type of garden. All right. And that garden, you know, is the soul, the mind, and all that. But what's the other type of garden? Raise your hand now if you are talking. Where is it? No, God will bless you. Just raise your hand. Hey, who is that? Emeka? Hey, God bless you. Emeka says, what did you say? Wilderness. Yes. How is wilderness a garden? It's a what? It's a garden without water. All right, give us the scripture now, brother. Okay, Psalm 62. Let's go to Psalm 62. See if it will help us. Or 63. No, good. 63. 63. A psalm of David, when his soul became a wilderness. All right, we can read it that way. He said, God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Amen. Okay, so the tables can change very easily from a watered garden to a wilderness. Amen. So, there are two types of garden I have seen in the Bible. The one that is watered, the one that has a constant supply of water, and the one that has none. If it was watered a few months ago, now no more water coming to it. And we have also seen that water is speaking about the word, and it's also speaking about the ministry, the flow of the Spirit of God in you. Amen. So, the question is, you and I, can we do anything about it? That is, if my soul is waterless, can I change it? Is it in my power to change? How do you change it? By wishing. You think about it. I want to change. I want to have a flow. All right? Okay, Deuteronomy. That takes us to Deuteronomy 6. I just want to share a little bit. I mean, just talk about it. You know, this is practical. But I want to recommend a sustainable plan and program. You know, it's a recommendation. It is a high intensity program. It will require diligence. It will require commitment. But the result is guaranteed. Amen. I say amen now. The result is guaranteed. All right. Now, what is this saying? This was what God recommended to Moses. Is it Moses here? Yeah, it was Moses. What does this say? Okay, read verse 6. Says, are we there? Good. Verse 6. And these words which I command you this day shall be where? In your heart. So we're speaking heart business. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Is there anything that is left uncovered? Is there any part that's missing? So think about it. Let's look at something else. The same scripture, but in another place. Proverbs 6. Okay. Proverbs 6:20 is even more detailed. It's even better. It says, my son, keep thy father's... What is thy father's commandment? It's the word, isn't it? And forsake not the law of thy mother. In my own understanding, law of thy mother is the ministries that come in the church, testimonies, preachings, books. That's my own understanding, because the mother is the church. Amen. Okay, verse 21 says, bind them. Who is going to bind them? Is it God that's going to do it for you? That is why I said there are things that you can do. If you don't do it, nobody will do it for you. Bind them what? Continually upon their heart. And tie them about the neck. Neck is also another word speaking about the heart also. Verse 22. When thou goest, you are going to walk, you are going to cook, you are going to fellowship. You are going. When thou goest, what will you do? You shall lead thee. When thou dost what? Sleepest. Sleep. That sleeping is not just physical sleep. If sometimes you are not aware, your mind is taken off, you are caught up in something. In other words, you are kind of asleep. In a sense, you are shut out from thinking about, some things. Practically, everything is not under your control. No matter how much you can plan, there are times when some things are not under your control. Amen. Like you are now in fellowship, you are not in control of your house. Are you there? So when you are sleeping, in a compound sense, what will happen? It will keep thee. And when thou awakest, what will happen? It shall greet you. And what? Talk to you. Does the word speak to you? You hear a voice. Sometimes we are very busy. But I'm telling you, God speaks. He's a talking God. He talks and talks and talks and talks. Amen. For what? The commandment is a what? It's a lamp. And the law is what? Light. And reproofs of instruction are what? The way of life. Amen. So, when you put Moses and Solomon, the psalmist, looking at two witnesses, said by the word of two or three witnesses, every word will be. So it's giving us a principle of life, a way of life. Many of us have different lifestyles. You may have a lifestyle of a teacher, or a lifestyle of a banker, or a lifestyle of a housewife, a lifestyle of a youth. But whatever it is, your soul is looking for water. Amen. Your soul is crying out for energy, for entertainment. In fact, the soul is a merchant. But sometimes even in Revelation, the soul is called the merchant of the earth. That means it's looking for life. It's going around shopping for energy, shopping for entertainment. Young people, not only young people, but it's common. Young people are looking for entertainment. And that's why this, our friend, is very important. Because it opens up a whole world of entertainment. Who gets that entertainment? Two things. The eyes. The physical eyes. Amen. The physical eyes are active. They are seeing everything. And the other thing that is also active is what? Your ears. So those are the two senses, two principal senses. Your eyes and your ears. Amen. But on Sunday, so is this Sunday, on Friday, we looked at another scripture, which I want to read. Remember, I just have a short time. The outward man may have a field day, but what the outward man is getting, what the physical eye is getting, is not bringing energy to the soul. It's not watering the soul. Okay, that's the lifestyle I'm talking about. A lifestyle that is keeping the eyes busy. Someone even calls it, hey, eyes full of adultery that can never stop. The eyes can never stop. No matter what you give, it's not going to stop. You know, but there's an inward eye. That inward man also has his own senses. He needs to see. You know, the eyes need to be open. The ears need to hear the voice of God. Amen. So, you and I are faced with a decision. Who are we going to invest in? Remember, whichever one you do, the other will die. You cannot serve God and mammon. If you sow to the flesh, the spirit will become a wilderness. If you sow to the spirit, the flesh will be shut down. Amen. So let me read that last scripture, then I'll go sit down. 2 Corinthians 4. And I drink from the abundance of thy house. There's an abundance in God's house. We have to decide to come there continually. Amen. 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. It's a day by day thing. Amen. You know? The outward man is also renewed day by day. If you stop eating, your muscles start shutting down. Your enzymes start shutting down. Your system starts shutting down. And you become emaciated. You become weak in the flesh. When you fast, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to shut down the outward mind, the appetite. You're quenching them. But when you do that, you need to allow the inward man to rise. You need to encourage the arising, the uprising. The Greeks call it a gyro, the recollection of your spiritual and mental faculties, ability to see, ability to hear the voice of God, see the things of God. Paul even prayed that the eyes of the understanding might be enlightened. So fasting gives you that time to shut down. And by the way, fasting is not just food. You can fast from television, you can fast from, you know, hobbies, you can fast from different things. So fasting is all across. Amen. And when you begin to shut down those things, there should be a response the other side. That is, somebody should be rising up. Amen. So Paul is recommending to us that we should change the lifestyle. Okay? And actually the peace offering. That is, you bring the fat. The fat comes from excess. If you have too much coming from the flesh, you don't need it. It's going to be stored as fat. And what it does is that fat blocks, it must be deposited somewhere, is it not? It will dull your senses, your ability to see the things of God here. So you should be careful on how much you are receiving from the outward. Because it's going to be stored, it's going to become fat, excess, which you need to burn. You burn it by offering it, bringing it to God. Say, God, I'm watching too much television. I'm doing this too much. Can you do something about it? It's an offering. And you have to decide to do it. You know, sometimes you can take a week or a day, but whatever you do, you must come to God and put something on the table. Say, God, let's take this away. Amen. Verse 18, let me close with that. Say, for while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. So we should seek to sow to that which is spiritual. Let me buttress that with Ephesians. It's part of the last scripture. You know, the last scripture has many scriptures with it. Ephesians 3, verse 10. I'm just trying to prove a point that it's what we ought to do. Okay, Ephesians 6:3-16. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be what? Strengthened with what? Might by his spirit. Where? In the inner man. Even Paul talks about it also. So Paul says you can strengthen, you need to strengthen. You know, the inner man is emotion. Our emotions need to be strengthened. We need maturity. You know, our desires need to be strengthened. Our mind. Sometimes, so you get some information that you shouldn't get, and you do some things you shouldn't do. It's because the mind is not matured. Is somebody saying amen? There is a maturity in the mind. In fact, it's the mind of Christ. Amen. You see a brother's fault and you keep it in. And you pray for the brother. It's maturity in the mind. Amen. God shows you a vision. You see, you don't go around talking and shouting everywhere. You keep it in and you go and pray. Take a fast. It's maturity. That strength in the inward man. Amen. Well, we say, he that repeated the matter does not seek love. Is it not? When you cover it, you know. So there are things that go with it. So he's saying we should come to that place of maturity. So we're being called to maturity, the place where we can have strength in the inner man. Amen. So he that has control over his emotion is a strong man. Isn't that what Proverbs said? It's better than he that rules over the city, is it not? Amen. Say, he that has no control over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without no control. Our emotions should not just be people. The devil, he says, it may have happened, but there can be a place where our emotions have control. Amen. It includes desires, different kinds of desires for food, for relationships. We can have control. It's called self. It says the fruit of the spirit is what? Self. Self-control means the ability of your mind to bring your emotions, your will under check, under control. Say, sit down here. Say, my soul, wait on the Lord. Who is speaking? You. Yeah, say, my soul, hang on. Somebody has said something against you, defamed you. Your emotions run to roar while you say, my soul, sit down. Amen. That brother is your brother. Amen. He was overtaken. So sit down. Hallelujah. It may even be your wife or your brother. You know, so I think that's the last scripture. Okay, yes. I think I'm done. Okay, well, I just, as we were singing, it came to me that there can be a sustainable way. And it says we can talk about it sitting down. So that means entertainment, the way you relax at home should be with the scriptures. when you're on the road, if you have a little time, your mind should be on the scriptures. You are in the office, scriptures. It's a lifestyle. And when we do that, you see there will be a constant communication between your mind and the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ will be ministering to your mind. And there will be a direct channel. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. You know, every day we talk about this thing, letting the inner man, die, and let the outward man, the flesh, die, and let the inner man be renewed. Every day, we know this thing, theoretically we know it. We know that the inner man should die, but practically, who has strength? If you have strength in an area like anger, you're able to control. Because I notice that with me, I may be able to take it, I'll just, inner man, my flesh, calm down, or I get to a point. But when I get to a point, all those ones that I've been, if you understand, holding, it just erupts like a volcano. And please, if somebody has overcome in this area, I'm really sorry if I'm bringing us back. Let us share experiences to help one another. If anybody has overcome in the area of anger, something is before you consistently all the time. How do you do it? You put the word. It's not that you don't know that word. You know the word. It is there.
But practically,
how do you overcome
it? It's okay now.
Your irritation, how do you overcome it?
Okay. So let's take a roll call. Who has overcome? I have overcome. Brother, have I not overcome? Wait, now. Let's ask. Have I not overcome? Who said you have overcome? So, what is the scripture saying? I was trying to look for that scripture. Deuteronomy says, I will not drive away all the animals at once. By little. Can someone find you somewhere in Deuteronomy between Exodus 2? The brother says 23. So, sister, that is the answer. Look for it. So, the answer is this. That is where I read Proverbs 6. It says, bind it continually in thy heart. Somebody has a word. I would have given you the depth. Now, the reason why we fail is because we do 23:28. You are there? I will send honey before you and shall drive out the Hebrews. No. That's not. That's the place that. By little and little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit. Now, when you say inherit the land, the principle, the land is your emotion. If not, we'll throw this in the way. We're not in this strict land. The land is your emotion. You have to possess your soul. Alright? To possess your soul, that emotion. Emotion is a wild animal. In that place, there are anger, bitterness, there are wild beasts. All right? No, but you can tame the wild beast. Because it says the lion shall eat grass. It's a change. So how do you tame? How do you change? You change it what? Little by little. But there must be strength coming into your emotion to bring that strong man under control. And that's why you need the scripture. You must make a habit of coming to the scriptures day by day. Amen. So, let me give you, I don't want to give you assignment, okay? But take it as a challenge, all right? But do you have that thing again? So I want to take permission from you people. Please, can I have that my Bible reading something? Let me show you. I'm telling you my own personal testimony. Alright? It has worked for me. Alright? As I'm standing here now, I have like 10 chapters in different places left. And if you ask them, I have, the whole of yesterday I was reading to catch up. And as I'm looking at it, the water is flowing through my mind. Just constant flow of water. Rav Huber gave us that testimony. He says, a man told his son, take a basket and go and fetch water. Brother, you know what you said? He told you, I'm not forgetting. You said it. The boy goes to the stream, fetch the water. By the time he got to the house, it was empty. The man said, go back again. You go and fetch. He did it many times. He said, look, why are you punishing me every time? Go and fetch water with basket. The man said, look at the basket. Brought another one. The one he had used to fetch the water and the one that was in the house, the difference was very clear. The one that is fetching the water was clean. The word of God cleanses your emotion. And I want to challenge you, go at it. It's there in my notebook. All right? Okay. So, we have been saying it. I'm not saying you must do it. But this one is an example. Let's see. Go ahead. Just a minute, sir. I'm taking permission. I'm not saying you must do it. But this one gives you 4 chapters to read a day. This one. Somebody says it's not possible. I say it is possible. Alright? You don't have to follow this one. There are many others. There are many ways. You don't even have to follow this one we're doing. Design your own. But the Bible says the entrance of their word does what? Bring it right. In HU, they taught us daily time. Daily prayer. Daily quiet time. Alright? Follow it. Many of us have overgrown quiet time, but we don't have any time to talk to God. Alright? If it's day by day, whatever you want to do, get it. I went for a wedding. Somebody gave us a scripture union day by day. This is day. We followed it in the house. Yes, we went for a burial. They gave us. If it's daily guide, you will follow. Take it. Every day, open your mind, and you will see the change. So, I'm telling you, I'm giving my own experience. There are people who have done it. So let's hear other experiences. Brother Hooper wants to say something.
It's one of the problems. When I want to read, I always want to read that part of the scripture where I will read and I will understand, I will get the revelation, and so on. But then there are other parts that will feel that there's nothing in it. You know? And I wanted to address
that
aspect. You know, okay. Because we pick and choose. I pick and choose.
Okay, the scripture says, is this 2 Timothy? It says what? All scripture is what? Is given. Brother, find it for us. Either 1 or 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is given for inspiration. And it's what? Profitable for what? Go down. 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That Brother Chijoke may be perfect. Truly furnished. Unto all good work. Example. Chronicles chapter 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 1. This is part of the problem. And this was the son of this. And this was the son of this. This was the son of this. You see that? There is something inside there. Oh yeah, let's go. Oh yeah, let's read. Adam. Shed. Enosh. Kena. Mahani. Stop. I go to Talina, open Mahalil. Mahalil, what does it mean? Praise. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have stopped at Mahalid and you have gone. What does this Mahalid mean? It means what?
Praise.
All right? Go back again. All right, let's read again. Go back there. Mahalid, Lamech. All right, let's go to Lamech. Go to Tazina now. That's the reading now. Go to Tazina. What does Lamech mean? Eh? Lamech. The name, it doesn't mean. So it means that there are some things you don't know that God may not tell you. What's the problem? Because... Hey, you don't know. There are some things that you are asked to say, God, why? He doesn't tell you. You close your Bible. Of course you do. So close it. Yes. You continue. It's part of the lessons. That there are some things that you can never get answer from. Oh, yeah. Okay, if you, okay, we didn't go there. Okay, let's go. What's the other one? Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth. Oh, yeah. The sons of Jesus. Gomer. Magog, son. Okay, verse 9, the sons of Cush, hey, black man. This. Yes. So every scripture, no matter what it is, there is something there for you. Okay, go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. I will show you something. This be the words which Moses spake unto what in the wilderness over against the Red Sea, between Paran, Topher. Now, when you start looking at those names, those words, what do they mean? You will see that there are, you will see the reasons that there are those words, they mean something. Amen. So, whether it's Chronicles or it's Isaiah, whatever it is, they all have a meaning. So, if you read it and you don't understand, just go on. The fact that you are reading the scriptures, there's a blessing that comes by it. You know? So, to answer that question, there's no part of scripture that's useless. You read it, you may not understand it. You may be sleeping, you wake up one morning, and that scripture begins to bounce in your mind. And, you know, and it's a point, you know, if you don't understand, you go to God, what does this mean? You inquire from God, and he will talk to you and tell you. So there is nothing like a useless scripture. All of it means something. Sister Uzi.
Thank you. Praise the Lord, brethren. I wanted to add one word to everything we're talking about this morning. And that word is the sincerity with which we come to the Lord about these matters. Sometimes we are not really sincere and we don't really want it. But other times we are sincere. And when we are sincere, the result comes faster. Now, if there's something like Sister Ivy was trying to describe, if there's something that's and it's causing an offense, it could be that that thing that is offending me is also offending God. But as I approach to, as I approach God about that thing, my approach to God will bring a change to that situation. Because God actually changes situations before us. God moves mountains. He really does those things. But with regards to our own souls, like anger she's described, brethren, many times we enjoy the things. We really enjoy being angry. But when we are really frustrated by this anger, and we come to God sincerely, brethren, not drama or religiously, but go to him in that secret place and cry to the Lord that I'm tired of this nature. You know, God who sees in secret, brethren, that we're not asking him for money, we're not asking for a big car, we're not asking for business, we're asking for him. We're asking that this wicked thing be rolled away. Brethren, God is faithful. So I believe that our hearts sometimes stand in the way. But when we approach God, brethren, let us come with sincerity. Let us, sometimes we profit from these natures. These natures bring us merchandise, or we are deceived to think that we are profiting. But the natures are really killing us. They are really diminishing us. And when God helps us to understand it and come with frustration, because even though he said he will take this thing away little by little, the Bible also says that there's a time appointed to this matter. So it keeps you kind of, you are anxious to overcome. You want to hurry up into that place because you are really not sure. When there's a time appointed, he said, and the door was shut, brethren. And we don't know how, when, where. So there's really no safety to be feeling like, okay, you know, little by little. Time is rolling by day, brethren. And let there be this urgency in our spirits to really break this yoke, brethren, this yoke upon our souls. Because we have the privilege that I've never seen people that just meet and every day, this thing is confronting us, brethren. Let it provoke us to change. Hallelujah. Let it provoke us to change, because God means business in changing us, brethren. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, wait, I'm seeing many hands. Praise God. You know, people are keeping me here. I like it. The more you ask. See, I did not be there asking a question. How many people have dog in their house? Dog. You have a dog in your house. You have a hand. Okay, good. When you feed the dog, it's happy with you. But when you keep the dog hungry, even the owner becomes an adversary. Amen. Do you know there is a dog in your emotion? It's a wild animal. When it receives life from God, it will be quiet. When you starve that emotion, I'm telling you, it's going to be wild. It will even swallow you. Simple. That's the principle. So within you, it says the emotion is like a lion. What does that mean? It means that that lion can become the tribe of, you know, become a rhino, you know, can be humbled, can be quieted. But if you leave it wild, it becomes wild. It can even behave anyhow. You know, so that is the principle of what God is saying. That if we bring the life of God, it will change the nature. And it's going to be a stepwise thing. So let's not think that it's going to just it's going to fade away. It's not going to go like that. There has to be a diligence every day at it, and it will go. My guy, sir, we'll come
there. Amen. Now the sister spoke about that was about, sorry, being sincere. You know. Now, it is the word of God that will create that sincerity. Now, so if I decide to spend 24 hours and read my Bible, whether I understand it or not, 24 hours non-stop, there is no way some of the anger is not going to drop. You see, and the devil is making it difficult for me to sit down with the word of God. That this word of God, I must sit down on it, anything I want. If I spend a weekend of fasting, just to read the word of God, that anger is going to receive a blow. It will create whatever you want to be created by the word of God. It's faith. So, well, it's good to be sincere, but if I'm very sincere, you read the Bible and you don't understand the Bible, you feel you're reading it, your mind is, you know, thinking about your broken car and all that. I have to force my mind and sit down and sit until after a while. That's my spirit. After a while, my mind begins to enjoy the word of God. And the more you sit on it, the more I can give it. I can testify also that when I sit down on the word of God, change comes on my soul.
Amen. Don't be annoyed though. Are you people annoyed? Put Psalm 119. Let's do practical. Psalm 119. This is the best place in the Bible. When you want to relax, can I recommend a relaxation for you? When you want to have abundance, can I recommend to you? Alright, ready, go. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimony, and that seek him, where? With your whole heart. They also do no iniquity. they walk in his way. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy law. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteousness, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man in Port Harcourt cleanse his way by taking heed thereto. Yeah, brother, do you want to circle? Verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let thee not wander from thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin again. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy presence and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep. Oh yeah, stop. Stop. Now read this one. Those who say you read it don't understand. Read this psalm. This one, read it every day. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of the Lord. Look at verse 19. I am a stranger in Nigeria. Hide not thy commandments from me. By the time you finish, don't wait. When you go home this evening, go read it. Amen. By the time you read these 178 verses, every depression will fly away. Every downcastness will destroy. Whether it's anger, it will go under. This is a perfect cure to the problems in the soul. By the way, Psalm 119 must be read every month. It is meant to be read on the 19th day of the month. But some of us, we transfer it to the 31st day. Because the way we have divided the Psalms, there is no provision for 31. So, Psalm 119, we read it on the 31st day because it's very, very long. I didn't read for 2 months. So, when this time I was going to England, I read it 2 times. When I was flying to England, 1. When I was coming back, 1. So, I've covered the 1 for 2. I've covered it. Now, because I have to cover it, there were some films I wanted to watch. So, it was obvious. Either you watch the film or you read the 119. There's no... it's a decision I have to make. So I have to drop the films and read Psalm 119. And my mind is fresh. Amen. So it is a choice you have to make. The ones you drop, you have an assignment. You go back and you run and cover it up. So you're always covering up. Me, I'm always covering up. So I always have assignments. So there's always a pressure on my mind because there is something I have to do. I have no free time because there is an assignment will do for me. Nobody will do it for me. So you have to decide where you're going to. Praise God. Sister, you have something? After, it's turn by turn, we'll come. After then, Brother Ogan.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I wanted to add this other side, to what Sister Ibi was saying. And what we've been saying, that in addition to the word of God, the scripture says that we should afflict our souls, buffeting the body. We've been taught about the issue of the day of atonement and affliction of the soul. We have the responsibility of putting our bodies under. Apart from the word of God, I can refuse to say, I will not do this. Sometimes, maybe you want to fast. And the devil may like, what is the burden of the fast? Or maybe you're fasting, you're not praying. One of the times I was battling with that, and one thing came to me. And I said, devil, no matter what happened, at least I have told my body that I can do without food. Do you understand? And saying that was a sense of victory
for me to some extent. That doesn't mean I should be starving without praying. But I had to speak to my body. Yes, I didn't pray as I should or read the word as I should. But at least I let my body know that if I don't eat that food, nothing will happen. And by the time you're afflicting your body regularly, the Bible tells, and we've been taught, the spirit man, you with the word of God and prayer, gets stronger. As you fast, your body is weaker. I found out that the days I've even made effort to fast overnight, I found out I was very alert. I told my husband that food is a sedative. When you eat, you sleep, whether you like it or not. The days I've fasted overnight, I was virtually awake. You understand? I wake up and sleep and I'm praying. I wake up and by the time I did 2-3 days, I say, wow, this is interesting. But next thing, the body will start telling you, oh, you have tried. And you go back to routine. But what I'm trying to say is that the responsibility of putting your body under, you must do that. And as you're hitting it, you may be fasting for something else, but the anger is going to be dealt with. Radusi gave us a testimony about his own life, how he battled with the issue of, you know, this fighting tendency. And the time came when he was confronted after 40 days fast. And this young man, who was even his subordinate in the office, attacked him. And, you know, he started laughing because he said at that point, he knew that he had overcome. He also told us about the man that was a homosexual before he got born again. And he got born again. There was still playing tricks on his emotions with that. He came to Brother Dusi. Brother Dusi said, brother, you have to fast. And he said that man sat with him for 19 days on the table every day, not eating. At the 19th day, he had his breakthrough. So God will deal with us in the way we, as we yield ourselves and say, I must deal with this matter. Drive away the spirit, but I must agree with God. God will not drive it without your consent. Praise God.
Brother Ogan.
Brother, praise the Lord. Concerning the reading of the word that looks so burdensome to some, just a word of encouragement to us. In the book of John chapter 14, verse 26. Brother, can you just put it?
14:26?
Yes. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit, it's all I need, we need, to keep us comfortable as we are ready. Jesus said, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. So I find joy, when I find joy in reading, and it is only the Holy Spirit that will give me that joy. So it is easy to keep reading and keep reading. The more I read, the more I rejoice in my spirit. And to end it, Jesus said, the hour has come and now is, when the true worshippers of God shall worship the Father in the spirit and in truth. This is the only place where we can find joy as we read this word, this life. I remember the day the Lord saved me. I've never been opening Bible. That day I opened my Bible. I bought drinks and shelf for my neighbors and tell them that they should go to the Bible. I never knew that this word is so sweet until the day I was saved. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. I just want to encourage us, Sister Ivy. There is I met an elderly lady in Cincinnati when I was there. She's a Christian, so she was telling me that there was a time she was having problem with malice, and that for a long time she was struggling with it. So she decided to be reading 1 Corinthians 13. She will sit there after reading it, she will write it out from beginning to the end. Every day, she will read it and then she will write, copy it out. She had a notebook. She would just copy it out, write down 1 Corinthians from beginning to end every day. And by the time she did that for 1 year, she could not find malice in her heart anymore. She had no place for malice. She found out that it was difficult for her to keep malice with somebody. So I just told myself that, well, I may not be able to write it out, you know, copying it out, but that I will read that 1 Corinthians 13 every day. And by the grace of God, I've been reading it. And sometimes I skip, you know, but I've been making it a way of life. I read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. And what it has worked in my soul is that sometimes things happen. Like I was sharing with my husband over this weekend. You find out the word just bringing up in the emergency room and something happened. A very ill child was abandoned and I was getting upset with the residents. And what just popped out of my soul was, love is not easily provoked. And I found the Lord speaking that word to me and I just took it. So you find out that in situations, something will just happen and the word just speaks to you and you have it. So if you, over the time, you know, imbibe those words, they will speak to you at the time you need it. Not that I didn't even consciously have to look for the word, but I found the word speaking to me at the time of my need. And there are certain prayers of Paul that Paul prayed for the brethren in Ephesians chapter 1, Philippians 1 and Ephesians 3, Colossians 3. I pray those prayers for myself. I found them very helpful. You know, in a lot of them, Paul talks about God strengthening us with might by his spirit in our inner man. And it was so, I just see God answering prayers, like I was giving a testimony to my family, that by 10 minutes to 4, sometimes 3:30, I see the Lord coming to wake me up, time for prayer. And I will wake up, my eyes will be sharp. And every day, before I read the scripture that I have to read for the day, I read those prayers. I pray those prayers for myself. Then I also have these proverbs that every day, just take one proverb for the day. But I found those things, I'm just saying, because she was talking about giving practical things that have helped. These are practical things that have helped me, you know, and I believe that God can also use it to bless you.
Let's have lunch. Psalm 119 verse 103 is a very good lunch. What does it say? How sweet are thy words to what? My taste. Yea, sweeter than honey. You know, where you feel sweetness is in the emotion. Alright? And it's an emotion we want to excite. You know, whether you are watching a film, you are watching a program, anything you do, you want to minister to emotion. This is another alternative. What is it? The word of God. And I say, God, my emotions, this word, I don't find it sweet. It's either David is telling a lie, or I am telling a lie, or my emotions are telling the lie. One is true. Amen. But he's saying here that, how sweet are thy words to my taste. Sweeter than honey. Amen. Brother Sam, please, the microphone.
This morning, I was just cleaning my car. It was about
emotion.
Emotion. So I will just know the thought was that emotion, how come that it is depicted by lion? Emotion, how come that it's depicted by lion? So the thought is that he has the ability to devour. To devour even its owner, like we are saying. So now the question is, how do we control emotion? This lion. And what God just said, there is another lion. Amen. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, so that's the real lion. That if you want to deal with your emotion, submit to the emotion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's like, look at the Paul and Silas. They were beaten and thrown into dungeon, and they gave instruction that they should keep them well. So after they've been bruised, their hands, legs were all put in the stocks. So you can't even use your hand to even minister to the wound in your body. And the Bible says that at midnight, that's yes, the midnight of their troubles, he said, they prayed and sang songs of praise to the Lord. And that was it. Deliverance came. Amen. So what God is, I believe, you know, was laying in my heart as I was, is the fact that when you talk of the lion of the tribe of Judah,
it's praise.
The weapon is praise. So it means that when I'm angry, I should sing songs of praise to the Lord.
Yes.
See, it might look very difficult, but that is the right thing to do. That does not mean, for example, you have quarrel with somebody. The next thing, if you are singing a song out, the person will think that you are, you know. So you are not showing anything forward. In your heart, you begin to sing songs. That's what the Bible talks about, melody, making melody to the Lord.
In your heart.
In your heart. So in that situation, by the time you begin to make melody to the Lord will visit that situation. You know, that's how you can overcome the lion.
Amen.
This lion called emotion.
Emotion.
Is the least, and is the one that is the least poisonous.
Yes.
Lion has no reason. You know, the reason, lion. You know, he does whatever he wants to do. So, and that's what emotion is. It doesn't reason. But God has put reason there for us to sing songs of praise and to make melody to the Lord. Then that lion is tamed. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. There's one hand there, but Sister Ibi, sorry, we are calling you. God just used you to bless us, so we are calling you. So the more we call you, the more blessing you are getting. So how many times now have they called you? So we are casting it. Amen. I was in a meeting during the week, and there was something they said. Somebody said I didn't like. So I, you know, your brother, and I put my leg. I said, no, I won't agree. And then after the meeting, you know, usually after the meeting is when the meeting starts. How many people agree with that? That's, we have argued this after the meeting, that the meeting actually, because anywhere you are still arguing in your mind. Alright? So I found myself arguing with the man. Meeting has ended though, but I'm still in the meeting. Alright? This is Francis. How did I? Now, and I was still having meeting, when the meeting has ended, I find my mind going towards somebody, a particular person. He was elderly, and of course, I should submit to him because he was elderly. But I say, well, I don't agree. How did I deal with it? I began to pray for him.
Because I found my mind rising up against him. I began to pray for him. I will take 5 minutes. You know the answer now. All the storm, meeting closed. Amen. All the people that I find that I was arguing with after the meeting in my mind, I began to pray for them one by one, and the meeting ended. Hallelujah. That is so you can that one you can never miss it. Pray for your enemies. Sister, do you have enemy? You don't have enemy. Everybody is your friend. No problem. But whenever you have somebody you don't agree with, pray for that person. Amen. As you begin to pray, every storm will come to an end. Hallelujah. Brother Eze. When the question stops, that's where I'm going to sit down. I think we are
this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3.
Yes.
Verse 18. You know, I just want to bring out the ministry of the Holy Spirit in changing us. He said that, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, what the Holy Spirit does is that in John, either 17 or 14, he says that he will take the things of mine and show it to you.
Amen.
So as we are reading the scripture, the Holy Spirit will show us the nature of Jesus, and in that process also transform us into that image.
Amen.
So that as you are staying and reading that word, it shows you that Jesus is not an angry man.
Amen.
And because he has shown you that, he also does another work by transforming you into that image. And as you do that, you are being changed from one glory to the other. That means that tomorrow you might not be as angry as you were today, then yesterday, then the next day, there is an increment, and before you know it, it's like you are using a knife to chop it off gradually. Eventually, that thing will be gone.
Praise Amen. The Lord. I think we'll be coming to an end. We'll sing that song, Little by Little, He's Changing Me. But let me share with you, with us, what we are taught in Scripture Union. You know, some of us are Scripture Union. Sister, do you know what the Scripture Union? You will know today. Psalm 119, verse 18. Some of us didn't have Scripture Union. We will have Scripture Union. We will share with you. They taught us this prayer. And can we recommend it to ourselves? That when you come to the scripture, you pray this prayer. If I pray it all the time, what does it say? Open down my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Amen. Pray that prayer. And you know, you're coming. You're not just coming with your sense, with your emotional, you know, with what you know. You say, God, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things. Amen. It can be a habit, you know. And so you are coming with a prayer, and you will see the things you will see. Amen. Any more? If not, we'll close with that song. Sister Ruth. Okay, now. Give Sister Ruth. That's the last. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is just a little practical testimony of what the Lord did for me in this area of anger.
But if you put it too close, it will make that noise. Okay. That's why she removed it.
In the respect of my relationship with people that work with me, for instance, closely, like in the sense of drivers, and my office colleagues, the people that work with me, respect of work I do. Before now, I've had several dealings of talking to my driver, and maybe when they do go astray, maybe driving or somehow I just flare up, I just something will just come, why didn't you do it this way? Don't you know this? Don't you know that? It's just been difficult. Sometimes I use my hands and say, don't now. You know, some of them will have maybe fear and things. But over time, the Lord, I've been seeking the Lord on it. Seeking the Lord, especially when one of them, when I had that a problem of with one of them, I was seeking the Lord. I always repent. I also told them, apologize and all that. But one day I cried, I keep crying in the midnight, keep crying, and the Lord, I believe the Lord heard it. So lately, this present one, you know, something that happened over the year, within a week now, it rose on and broke into one ditch like that. Not because he was supposed to river. I said, "Chai, the ditch, you know, it was so drastic. It was so, what happened was so magnetic, was so, the grave, impact was great, it's grievous. But you know, there was such peace in my soul. I couldn't even respond to anything.
There was peace in your soul.
I was so, you know, I said, come out. I just came out with calm. And I couldn't know from where that thing came out, peace came. I was no rebuke, no talk. Not just something. I just knew it wasn't the man. The spirit had been dealt with. And before, people just came from all the corners and helped him bring out the car. Even what had the damage, you know, that was inside. I was talking. I just begin to praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I say, God, you're such a good God. So he answered that prayer. And if you continue, I believe see that spirit be dealt with. You know, so I just want to ask that, tell us, in addition to all that people have said, keep crying to the Lord. And you cannot overemphasize the filling of the pot with water. Keep filling, brethren. Keep filling, one day it shall turn to wine.
Oh, yes.
Then he told Jesus, told the people, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. The brother talking about the Holy Ghost is the one. Just keep obeying, filling the pot, obey. One day the pot, the waters will turn to wine.
Sweet wine.
So sweet wine.
Amen.
And the Lord will just take care of it all.
Amen.
It's not our own work to do. It's the work. But our own work is to do that which is we should do. Just rest. Surely. The Lord, who hears the cry, so talking the secret, will come one day and bring deliverance in the open.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So that has summarized it. She has already summarized though. But we can allow you to add something. But this one is the bottom. Ask now. Okay. But sister, this ministry has finished all the matter. Fill the pot with water. And have faith that one day it will turn to sweet, not just wine, sweet wine. Amen.
Amen.
Please, oh, yeah, brother.
Let us have Genesis 17 on the board. I want to ask a question from there. Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. That phrase, be thou perfect, as people of God, how do we respond to it in our daily lives? That is my question.
So the question is, how do you walk before the Lord and you are perfect? How do you be perfect on a daily basis? Okay, that's the question. What does it mean to be perfect, and how do you walk in that manner? Sister Adomo has, who is there?
I think it's true all what we have been saying. As you begin to do these things, filling the pot with water, having faith, praying, crying to the Lord, you become perfect from one degree to the other.
Okay. So the thing is, what does perfection mean? What does perfection mean? Yeah. So Sister Doma has given us a perspective. So let's build on it. What does perfection mean?
Perfection means completeness. Means maturity. When the Bible talks about being perfect, means that you're complete. In the sense. Coming unto perfection. The fullness is perfection. And every aspect, God may bring you to a perfect state gradually as you submit to Him. And what I want to say practically, when you talk about walking before God and being perfect, as you obey the Spirit of God, you are perfect. If the Lord tells me, go and do so, so, and so, and I do it, in that situation, I am perfect. Now, I may decide in my head and reason something else that may be better. Let me give an example in the scriptures. Jesus went to that pool of Bethesda, and he saw many maimed and halt, but he healed only that man. If it were maybe myself in the natural canal way, it's natural to say, let us begin to do pray for everybody here. It will look good to the canal mind, but it was not the perfect situation because that's not what God wants. So perfection, literally speaking, is obeying God in totality. That's what the Lord has told you to do. Do it. Now, sometimes you may not be very sure of what God tells you to do. That's where the scriptures come in. Because the word of God must in line with the Spirit of God. Sometimes you're not sure, what do I do about this decision? I didn't hear a clear word about do or not do. You go to the word of God. What does the Bible say about this situation? Like Lucy talking about the woman that was fighting with malice. She knows that malice is wrong. So, she had to look for the practical way. And God showed her the issue of 1 Corinthians 13. I was telling my small sister here that I had that experience personally. Nobody told me that I was, you know, I had issues of, I wouldn't even call it malice. It's bottled anger because nobody will see it. But in your heart, I was boiling over things. And God ministered to me to start reading that 1 Corinthians 13. And I began to read it. And the thing just disappeared from my mind. So the word of God is very practical. If you obey God, as God tells you, you're walking perfectly. And He brings you stage by stage, stage by stage. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Three, 16, 17. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be
perfect,
truly punished unto all good works.
So it's the word of God that brings you. So I'm coming, but in a practical sense, is there anybody who was born perfect? Where is Chizaram? Chizaram is our answer. Chizaram is learning to walk now. As I'm standing here, when I was born, I was like him, is it not? As time goes on, now I told the mother, it's now that child has landed, because when he starts running around the whole house, that's when you know him. Okay, but he's growing. After some time, he will be walking freely. All right? That's how it is with the things of God. You're a babe. You are struggling. Maybe one day you walk perfect. The right minute. But a time comes when you are walking more perfectly. Okay, then the question is Abraham. What was Abraham's son and my experience? It's because of Abraham that Boko Haram has landed, though. Is it not so? But in his walk with God, it didn't just 1 minute became perfect. But there were mistakes, but in it he came unto perfection. and maturity. Amen. So that's how it is. As you walk with the Lord, it says like a light that shines brighter and brighter and brighter until the perfect day. And the day came. Amen. That's God's definition of perfection. Brother Simeon. Brother Simeon.
Praise the Lord. I just want to read this scripture. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 11. Said, when I was a child, I speak as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. Hallelujah. I believe that Abraham, God called him and, you know, sat him down, saying, now you have become a man. You have to walk, put away childish things and think like a man and walk before him and be perfect. You know, as we grow in God, God expects us to mature in him and, you know, put away some certain things. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Little, okay, brother Eze. This is our little song. They're not going to sing that today.
Like what Sister Ife said, you know, obedience is, perfection is obedience in what God has revealed to you. In what has been made known to you. If you obey that, then you have been perfect in that area. Now, let me give you another example. You know, for children, when they come to the hospital, there are what you call milestones. At 1 year, you expect a child to do this. At 2 years, you expect a child. And if you see a child who is 7 years and he still cannot walk, you know that that child is lacking in that area. So he has not been perfected in what is expected of him. Amen. At that particular time. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Little by little, he's changing me. Changing me. Okay, you know, I'm SU. Let's sing the SU one, then we'll come to this one. Okay, they say we shouldn't sing SU song. Huh? They say it's an SU song. So we should leave that one. Little by little, little by little is changing me. Changing me, changing me. Light up a light empty. The word of God is changing, is changing me.
Amen. 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 I just feel that we need to respond to this time. And I'm sure that many of us, we have this great challenge, you know, of reading the scriptures. You know, in fact, what they're just coming to me is like Jesus set his face to go to the cross. And just around him, the devil got into Peter. And he had the voice he had, I'm sure, was the voice of the Satan. But it came out from the mouth of Peter. And Jesus rebuked Satan sharply. You know, we are in the world, and the enemy knows that our deliverance lies in the world. He knows that our life is in the world. He knows that the energy, you know, that will give life to that spirit man in us is in the world. And we are in the world, and he brings all the circumstances around us. You know, our environment, our workplaces, whatever thing we do, the enemy is just there, bringing about distractions, cares. Well, you can say legitimate. But he brings them. At times, you know, if we begin to reason, we think that, oh, that is it. You know, that's the right thing to do. Brent, I feel that this morning God has come to us. And we need to respond. There is an effort that we need to make. You know, like what we've been saying about grace is that when we have done everything that we could do and we have no help, and we find out God looks at us and says, this person, I have to come down to help. That is when the power of the grace, the resurrection power, the power of the life of God comes to us. But we must do something. I can't just sit down and say, oh, God will help me. The Spirit of God will help me. God will intervene. I have to do all God. There's something that God expects us. That's why God does not tamper with our willingness. We have to be willing to come to him. You know, he said when the Spirit comes on, and we don't yield, he leaves us. Praise the name of the Lord. So this afternoon, I feel that brother, each and every one of us, we need to make a commitment, not to man, a commitment to God. Brethren have shared the testimonies that they've had. It's something, it works. The scripture is full of the life of people who walk with God, and it's like a testimony to us. Praise the name of the Lord. So let's just bow our heads, just 2 minutes, and let's make a commitment to God. You say, God, when we pray, we always, God help me, God help me, God help me. But this time, let it not be God help me, because God is ready to help us. But this time, brethren, let it be, God, I want to make a commitment to you. You know, I want to. You know, like even like that scripture, David, you know, it's all David's testimony. Say, God, I know there's weakness in me, but Lord, I'm making a commitment to you today. Lord, I'm repenting. And repenting means turning around. And as we bow our heads, let God's Spirit reveal to me, reveal to you, that one thing that is holding down my right leg or my left leg from taking the first step. You know, at times we think of many things. We think of, oh, when I will have the whole time to be able to sit down to read the scripture. We have had testimonies abundantly of people who have been able to overcome. Hallelujah. Let these testimonies, you know, it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Let the word of testimony that we have received today be a strength to us to take the first step. Hallelujah. Lord, whether I understand the word scripture or not, I will read it. I will hear it. I will play it. I will write it down. I'll give my time to it. Let it be a vow to God. Let us make it by faith. Let us not
believe the enemy that will say, oh, you've tried, you failed, you've tried, you failed. Today, Lord, I'm making a vow. I'm making a vow. You know, the Bible talks about men of God. When God comes to them, reveals to them, they pick up a stone and they build an altar. Look at Abraham. Each time God appears to him, he builds an altar. Each time he builds an altar. Even Jacob, when he lay down and saw, he slept on that stone. On that stone, God revealed himself. He built an altar. And on their way back, you find out that they some of them visited those altars. Let us build an altar today. An altar and make a vow to God. God is real. He's around us. He's with us. He's helping us. And he wants to help us even the more. Brethren, as we make a commitment and as we take the first step, you know, pay a price, make a willing sacrifice, we'll find out that God will come and help us. Father, we ask that you would give ears to the words of our vows today to you. We are making it by faith that, dear Lord, we will give our time to your word that is life to us. Because there's no way you've made us to understand that we can grow in you. There's no way we can put down this flesh except we give you time, oh God, to put this word. You have even made a promise, a new covenant, that you put your law into our hearts. Lord, help us, Lord, to give you the permission by giving you the time, by giving you, Lord, our hearts, that you might put this law into our hearts. Lord, that we might be changed. We desire a change. Lord, the rate at which we are changing, oh God, we are not satisfied with it. We desire a change, and we know you want to change us. We make a vow to you, oh God. Hold us by the vow we are making. We are making it not, Lord, not because we believe in ourselves that we have the ability, but we are making it because there is a desire in our hearts. Lord, there is a testing in our hearts. Oh God, Lord, that you have opened our eyes and we have seen, oh God, that the only source of energy and growth for us is in your word. Lord, you've stirred the pool today. And Lord, maybe one or two have jumped in. But there are those of us, Lord, who can't jump in. And you've come to us and you've asked us, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, we'll make a vow today to read your word in the morning, to read your word in the afternoon, to read your word in the evening, to give our time to it. And we ask, Lord, that you help us. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, we know you're not a God that comes to condemn. Lord, but Lord, you've convicted us today. We'll give our time to the word. The word that will give us energy and life. The word that is your son. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.